When President Trump took office, there were 112 federal judicial vacancies, and he was quite eager to fill them.
It was like the gift from heaven. We were left judges. They're the ones that judge on your disputes. They judge on what's fair on the environment and what's not fair, where they're going to take your farms and factories away and where they're not. Amazing. It was the gift. Thank you very much, President Obama. We all appreciate it.
Filling judicial vacancies with conservative judges has been one of the top priorities for Republicans in the Trump era, and the president has moved fast to get it done. Now that Republicans have strengthened their hold of the Senate, which is where judicial appointees get confirmed, the administration shows no signs of stopping. Meanwhile, on Tuesday, dozens of races across the country gave seats to judges in places like North Carolina, West Virginia, and Arkansas. And the strategy for filling those seats, well, there's a lot to it. Alicia Bannon is going to help us unpack it all. She's the deputy director of the Brennan Center's Democracy Program. Alicia, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
So let's get started. There was a lot to talk about here. The judicial race results on a state-by-state basis. Were there some themes that emerged in your view?
Sure. Well, we saw several states have quite high-cost, highly politicized judicial races. One thing that was very striking was how much outside money was pouring into those races. So rather than candidates taking out ads directly, you had outside groups, often funded by special interests, putting hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars into television advertisements. And strikingly, we usually don't know much about the donors behind those groups.
That was going to be my question. Who are these groups and what types of groups are funding these judges? We don't know yet.
Well, you know, a lot of the money is dark money. So in a lot of cases, we don't know who the underlying donors are. When we have been able to unpeel the onion and kind of follow the money, not surprisingly, it's frequently interests that are regularly appearing before those state courts. So we see a lot of money coming from plaintiff side trial lawyers on the one side. We see a lot of money coming from business interests on the other. One thing that's really striking is there have been several instances where you'll have actual cases pending before the very judges that are standing for election. So there's a lot of really troubling conflicts of interest that come out of these big money judicial races.
I was just going to say, this doesn't feel exactly like it's on the up and up here. Who is in charge of making sure that these conflicts of interest don't interfere with our judicial system, or is no one in charge of that?
Well, a problem is that in states across the country, the rules governing when judges are supposed to step aside from cases in the face of these conflicts of interest have not caught up to the realities of how these races now function. So most states don't have clear rules governing when big money election, when if a litigant or lawyer has spent a lot of money supporting a judge, when that judge might have to step aside from the case. And even fewer have rules governing what happens if that money came through outside spending.
Do we know? I feel like there are lots of, when even here in New York, there was a lot of conversation about flipping the ballot and making sure you're voting, you know, for these judges. How much are Americans informed about the judicial process here? How much do we know about how much our vote actually matters to the judges?
Well, I think all too often these races fly under the radar. You know, many people don't know even the names of their state Supreme Court justices. These are extremely important positions. You know, 95% of all cases are decided in state courts, and state Supreme Courts are the final word on most state law decisions. So these are really high stakes issues. But frankly, usually the only people that are paying attention are kind of the special interests that have a strong financial interest in these cases. The public, you know, which also obviously has a very strong interest in how these cases are decided, you know, tends not to be very informed or even have access to information about these judges.
And let's look at the federal picture now. At the top of the show, we know that President Trump has been very excited about filling the vacancies that he has available to him. What do the midterm results tell us about his efforts potentially going forward to fill those vacancies?
Well, I think that it's quite likely that we're going to see, if anything, a kind of acceleration of efforts to confirm judges. You know, the Republicans have lost the House of Representatives, which means that I think they're going to have a harder time moving forward any big legislative initiatives. But they've actually strengthened their hand in the Senate, which is the body that confirms judges. And so I think that what we're likely to see is just a lot more attention paid towards just getting through as many judges as possible. Right now, we have 100 135 vacancies across the country in our federal courts. So, you know, they're poised to have quite a profound effect on the shape of the federal judiciary for, you know, decades to come.
What's the strategy, I guess, as you mentioned, the Senate is now in Republican control. What's the strategy for Democrats, for more progressive or for liberals to combat that? Or can they even come up with a strategy to do that, given that the Senate is not under their control?
I mean, I think the Democrats are in a challenging position right now. I think there are ways that they can potentially slow down the process and insist that there is sufficient kind of vetting of nominees, you know, insist that the hearings are done in a meaningful way. But, you know, a lot of the tools that the minority party used to have to basically have a voice in the process have been weakened or taken away. So just, you know, for example, it used to be that a home state senator would be able to say, we don't want a particular nominee to move forward because we haven't been consulted on that nominee. And now under Chuck Grassley, they've essentially eliminated that rule. So now home state senators no longer have a meaningful opportunity to say, we don't believe that this nominee should go forward because we haven't been consulted.
There are about two more years left under this presidency and in this administration. We've just went through the midterms. What do you think the landscape is going to look like for the courts to fill those vacancies by the end of the Trump presidency?
So the landscape among how kind of advocates and others are going to be looking at the courts, one thing that's been very striking, and this has been true for decades, is that there's been a real asymmetry of interest. So people on the right, and this goes for both members of the public all the way up to, you know, our elected officials, have really viewed the courts as a priority, and they just haven't gotten the same amount of attention on the left. I think that may be changing. I think particularly Justice Kavanaugh's recent confirmation was a real call to action for a lot of people that, you know, they've not been paying enough attention to how high stakes these nominations really are, and that, you know, they frankly haven't been voting on judges. They haven't been viewing that as a real election issue. And I think there is kind of growing attention, and that's been borne out. We've seen even in judicial races where folks on the left have been paying more attention.
Alicia Bannon is deputy director at the Brennan Center's Democracy Program. Alicia, thank you so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.